Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Jim Cruz.
World, but aren't you glad that Jesus is greater than the darkness? How many really believe that? Yes. So for those of you that don't know who I am, my name is Pastor Jim, and I am actually Pastor Ron's son-in-law. I've been married to his daughter for next month. It'll be 26 years, all right? So I got to make sure I got that right. So in 2008, just to tell you a little story about myself and our family, in 2008, Pastor Ron had a conversation with me to tell me that he was not going to be able to continue to help lead the Las Vegas campus. And at that point, my wife and I took over as the senior leaders of our Las Vegas church. And from 2008 until this last January of 2018, we led the Las Vegas church. We saw incredible life change. We saw miracles and healings, and the church grew, and it was just wonderful. However, in 2016, we kind of started feeling this unsettling feeling. And I don't know if you've ever been in a position with your life or with the circumstances in your life that just seems to be this unsettling. And we kind of started feeling it in 2016. We didn't know quite what that meant, but we had an idea that it was possibly us leaving the Las Vegas church and possibly coming back here to Bakersfield or doing something different. And so we really started praying. And we had a series of events start taking place in 2017 that it started to become clear to us that we were supposed to start a church campus in Thousand Oaks. And in October of 2017, while we were still leading the Las Vegas church, there was a gun mass shooting there, unlike anything this nation has ever seen. And we were still leading that church at that point. And 58 lives were lost that night. Over 500 people were injured that night. And one of our very own members here, Bailey Schweitzer, went home to be with Jesus that night. It was a very tough and difficult season for a church, not just the church, but for the whole community. And I saw some things happen that in the previous 20 years prior to that event taking place start just coming together. And the first time ever, you would see signs all over Vegas that says, "Pray for Las Vegas." That would be the last sign I would ever think that would be in Las Vegas. Matter of fact, it was surreal to me because on October the 3rd, I had to go across town, and so I had to cross the strip, and this billboard that always had a picture of a woman's rear end, all right, try not to look, bounce your eyes, guys, right? And it was just, it was such a word picture to me because that woman's rear end was replaced by a very somber sign that said, "Pray for Las Vegas." So I was thinking, wow, does it really have to take this kind of a dark situation to happen for us to cry out to God? And I was going through prayer vigils, and the first prayer vigil that we had at the church, and it was the shooting happened on Sunday night, October the 1st, and on Monday night, October the 2nd, our church, we opened our doors all that day on Monday. People were locked out of their hotels. We had VBF Bakersfield people there that were locked out of hotels. They couldn't get there. So we just opened the church and people just were going to the church. They were sleeping there. They were, you know, people were bringing toiletries down. It was just crazy. But that night we had a prayer vigil. And I'm leading the prayer vigil. I've never been in the space before, but here I am. I'm the community leader, and I'm stepping up to give this message and just to pray over all of the hurt that is going on. And I'm looking out, just like I'm looking out to you guys, and I'm looking out, and in the front row was the beautiful Schweitzer family that became my family. And they're in the front row. And they are there. The whole family is there. And they're praying and they're just grabbing a hold of God like I've never seen a family grab a hold of God. I also saw the hand of God touching them in a way I've never seen the hand of God touch a family in grief. I saw the peace of God. I saw the comfort of God. It was miraculous how God was touching them. But right behind them were people that were attending the concert, but were just in shock. They were in their own trauma, having run for their life, knocking fences over, going on the runway of McCarran Airport. And then behind them were a group of Mandalay employees that attended our church that were part of our community. So I'm looking out and I'm looking at layers of hurt. And we're just kind of trying to wrap our arms around this whole thing. And we just started crying out to God. And fast forward to that next Sunday, we had a worship service, and I did a message called Love Heals, because we were in this series called, I forget what the series is called now, but it was about love. And so we just titled it Love Heals, and we just had a healing service. We let the Holy Spirit just come in our service and just start healing people of the layers of trauma that they had experienced in their life. I had an FBI agent that was at the front of the altar after service who had to go up to the Mandalay Bay room and assess all the things, including all the mess that was in that room. And he was in tears with me, and we were huddled together and we were praying after the service. 2 weeks after that, I had an interest meeting with some friends of mine in the Thousand Oaks area to begin what we would call Atmosphere Church, which is part of the VBF network of churches. And so we got together just 2 weeks after the shooting to circle up to have Bible study. Matter of fact, one of my friends said, are you okay to do this? Because we had previously planned this prior to the event happening on October the 1st. I said, I need this. I need to do this. We need to figure out what God is doing. And so 2 weeks after that shooting, we were there in Thousand Oaks, huddled up in this guy's backyard, and over 40 people came that night and were telling Tara and I that they've been praying for a life-giving church to come to Thousand Oaks. And it was at that point we knew that God was up to something, and possibly the next chapter of Jim and Tara Cruz's life was going to be in Thousand Oaks, California, for some reason. And to be honest, before God started doing all these things, I really didn't know where Thousand Oaks, California is. See, Bakersfield people, we know where Pismo Beach is. Come on, somebody, you know. We know where Pismo Beach is. We know where San Luis Obispo is. We know where Disneyland is. But see, here's the issue with Thousand Oaks. Thousand Oaks is between Disneyland and Pismo Beach. We never go that direction, really. So when God started talking to us about Thousand Oaks, I was like, what? Where is this? And I remember Josiah had a soccer tournament there at one point. And so we have a second meeting after the interest meeting where we were going to just kind of introduce ourselves. Now we're going to do a Bible study. And we had 43 people show up for that first Bible study in Craig and Pam Yamek's backyard in Thousand Oaks. And that night was incredible. It was October 26, 2017. And so for the months to come, we transitioned out of the Las Vegas campus. Pastor Doug kind of took the helm, and Pastor Ron got back involved, as you guys well know. And so they started leading that campus, giving Tara and I the ability to start this new campus in Thousand Oaks, California. So on September the 16th, just 2 months ago, we started Atmosphere Church. And we had about 240 people at our very first gathering on September the 16th. We saw seven decisions for Christ at that very first service of Atmosphere Church. And I thought, wow, this is, we're off to great beginnings here. And this is pretty crazy. And for me as a long-term pastor here, I've been doing this now since I was 19. I started as an intern here at this church and just helping out with the youth and, you know, just seeing God do some incredible things with our teenagers. And from there, you know, I started helping and doing outreaches here with Pastor Ron, became the executive pastor here, helped start the school, done a lot of things. And I was thinking to myself, wow, this is going to be a new season of our life where we're starting all over again. And it's pretty scary and pretty intimidating considering I'm only a few years away from 50. And I'm thinking to myself, like, this is like, I never thought we would start over again. The church in Vegas was over 2,000 people. But I was like, nonetheless, this is what God's called us to do. We tried all kinds of different venues to try to have our church in Thousand Oaks. We went to schools, we went to different hotels, and we could not find a space to meet on Sunday. Some of these schools, just to kind of give you an idea, some of these schools were not the best ideal situation for a church to start in. One of the schools that we visited actually had the same folding chairs they were given when the school opened in 1962. Same chairs. And they said, well, these will be the chairs you'll be using for the church. And I'm like, wow, maybe we will help you and your booster club here and get you some new chairs. But they told us no. The school with the old chairs told us, no, we can't have church here. So Tara and I were super discouraged. We had this group of people. We're ready to get this church kind of figured out. And we go to a golf course that somebody in our Bible study had told us about. And they said this golf course does a lot of wedding receptions, and we think it would be a great place for a church to meet at. So Tara and I went over there, and we were blown away. It is the perfect place for a church. I mean, the north window of the church building, it's the golf course building, but now it's the church building. The north wall is all windows looking out, I believe, to the first fairway of the golf course. So it's almost prophetic that it's called Atmosphere Church because they look out there and there's atmosphere, right? I just tell people, don't let the man striking the ball distract you, all right? Look at us, look what we're doing here. But it's a beautiful place. But little did I know that 2 months after we would kick off what we call Atmosphere Church, there would be a mass shooting in the city that prided itself in being the safest city in America. It's literally across the street from where we do church. The Borderline Bar and Grill is across the street from where Atmosphere Church every Sunday. Matter of fact, I have a map just to put things to scale here. I don't know if you guys got that. So I just want to kind of give you, because this is kind of hard to scale it, but on Google Maps, here's the atmosphere, right? So from here to the intersection of Rolling Oaks and Moore Park, it is about a 1 minute walk, all right? So it's blown up, and so I don't want you to think that that's a long way away. So we're about a 1, maybe 2 minute walk from the Sunset Ballroom where we meet to the intersection that the memorial's at. Now, right here is where Borderline Bar and Grill is. Okay, this is the 101 freeway. This is Moore Park Road. And so the golf course is this whole area. I woke up Thursday morning, I should say, with a bunch of text messages. The first one being at 12:30 by my friend Jade Molina, who is a strength and conditioning coach and the campus pastor at the Oaks Christian School in Westlake Village, and he actually lives about right here. And so he texts me first at 12:30 at night saying that there's something going on. My son and I are hearing gunshots everywhere. And that was the first text I got. And by 6 o'clock, my phone was blown up with all kinds of people trying to figure out if I'm safe or what's going on. But when I pulled up the map to find out where this place was because I thought I was recognizing the intersection and all the news coverage. And I was like, that's our intersection. That's the intersection for our church. That's where everybody turns in to come to church. And now, right now, this intersection is full of crosses representing the 12 victims of this mass shooting that took place. Now, on top of that, there's been fires in the areas. You guys probably, if you follow me on social media, you know I've been kind of posting some of the things. We have some firefighters in our church that have been sending me videos and kind of keeping me up to date with some of the crazy fires. But Thursday, we were here in Bakersfield. So while Josiah's graduating at Centennial, we're launching this church commuting back and forth. And it's not a bad commute considering I was commuting to Vegas. So this is a lot closer. So on Thursday, Tara and I got in our car and we drove down there and there was going to be a big prayer vigil at 5 o'clock at the Civic Arts Plaza. And so we had rallied our church together with some other pastors and we were all going to go pray on the grass at the front of the Civic Arts Plaza. And as we're arriving to pray, the winds are blowing probably 60 mile an hour to 70 mile an hour gusts of wind. I mean, the trees, leaves are hitting us in the head. I was just like, this is crazy. But as we were driving in just to the Civic Arts Plaza, we noticed that there were fires on both sides of the city. We could see the smoke. And we were just being told about one fire. But I was clearly seeing two fires. And I told Tara, I said, there are two fires and they're like bookends on each side of the city. And so by the time we got to the prayer gathering, to the vigil, we all show up, we're starting to circle up for prayer, and everybody's phones start going off, the emergency thing. Have you ever had that happen, the Amber Alert or whatever? Everybody's phone goes off. Everybody's phone in the area is going off, telling people to evacuate their homes, mandatory evacuation because of the Woolsey fire and the Hill fire. So people are like, okay, I want to pray, but I guess I have to go home and pack. Ambulances, fire trucks are coming by, sirens are going. And I'm looking over at my wife and I said, welcome to the safest city in America. This is crazy. Now, some of you have traveled and vacationed in Vegas. Some of you may have lived there. I don't know. But if you live in Las Vegas and you talk to anybody that has lived in Las Vegas for any length of time, they will tell you it's a rough city. It's a rough city. It's the kind of city that you have to kind of look around when you're walking somewhere. It's just part of living in Las Vegas. It's a rough city. So I went from rough city to safe city, so we thought. And then I'm observing all of this and I'm realizing this isn't by accident, that we would leave Las Vegas, that God would call us to the city, and all of this stuff now is erupting. Now there's fires, people evacuating, there's victims right across the street from where we do church. There's no other church in the area, mind you. So I'm just absorbing all this, realizing that God called us to Thousand Oaks for many reasons, but now I'm staring straight in the face at one of the biggest reasons of all, that God wants to use us as a healing agent for a city that is traumatized. And I had said to the church from day one, and you guys, you've heard this for years, but we believe church isn't just a training center, we also believe it's a trauma center. We believe that you don't have to be perfect when you walk through these doors. Matter of fact, we expect you to be broken when you walk through these doors. And we know that God is capable of healing you of your brokenness. So don't come in here and be embarrassed of your trauma. We expect you to have trauma in your life. And we want to be an agent of healing that God can use to bring healing to your soul and whatever brokenness you're going through. So when I told this to our new group of people, I said, we're a training center, we're a trauma center. They're like, Pastor, we've never heard anybody say it like that. And I said, well, that's why God's calling us to Thousand Oaks, because he wants a church here that could be a training center and a trauma center. And little did I know that fast forward all those months later, after I had declared that to this core group of people, that our church would be used by God and the kingdom of heaven to be a trauma center to a very hurting city. So Sunday, we don't have a place to meet because most of the city is still under mandatory evacuation. So most of our church members have left the valley. They've stayed at relatives. Matter of fact, one guy said, pray for me. We have to evacuate and go to Bakersfield. That's what he said. I'm just repeating what he said. Don't be offended. And I call the golf course and I'm like, hey, where are we standing? Because see, what I saw in Vegas is the Sunday after the tragedy is the best Sunday to gather. Because people are walking in the doors of the church that would have never thought to walk in the doors of the church just a week before the tragedy. And that's exactly what happened in Vegas. I had people walking through the doors of Valley Vegas that probably you would have never thought would have ever walked through the door. I had entertainers walking through the door. I had people working the Cirque show walking through the door. Everybody, they were just hungry for answers and hungry for healing. And so I was like, out of all the Sundays that we need to meet, is the Sunday after all of this stuff happens and you're telling me the golf course is closed? And they said, we're sorry, Pastor, we can't, it's just too dangerous. It's beyond our control. So I'm sitting there going, okay, we don't have a church. We don't have a church building. Shouldn't say we don't have a church. We don't have a church building. And you know what's crazy? Is that 3 weeks before that, I was in a sermon. And I repeated something that I heard another pastor friend of mine say on social media. He said, the church is at its best when it's left the building. And I told the people that. I go, you know, the church is at its best when it's left the building. And everyone's like, yeah, preach it. Well, guess what? Now we're a church without a building. And I don't like it. So I'm praying and I'm like, okay, I guess we'll do like a Facebook thing and we'll just have people meet on social media. And I couldn't get the video to work to tell the people. And then we get a phone call from one of our members and she said this. She said, I'm at the intersection where they put up a memorial and there's Billy Graham crisis chaplains out here that are retired deputies, retired fire captains, and they're just out here praying for people. And they want to know if we will partner with them to help these grieving family and friends that are coming to visit the memorial. And so I'm thinking to myself, this is why the video didn't work. God didn't want us to have service on Facebook. He wanted us to have service at the memorial where the family and the friends were coming together. So I called the church and I said, hey, we don't have a building, so we're going to take the church to the hurting. We're going to go where they're at, and we're going to have church where they're at. And so we circled up, we prayed, and we prayed in the parking lot where we normally meet, and then we were greeted by one of the Billy Graham crisis chaplains, and he said, hey, I know some of you are really intimidated, and you see all these people that are over there at the crosses. What we didn't know when we set up this church service outside, we didn't know a gentleman would show up at 2 a.m. on Sunday with these beautiful crosses that he handmade for each one of the victims. And he had put them out there at the memorial Sunday morning at 2 a.m. The only one that saw him do it were the sheriff officers that were guarding the road because it was still blocked off because they were still investigating the shooting. And so here we show up. We see these crosses. We get to meet this guy. And it was the same guy. His name is Greg. The same guy that put up all the memorial crosses in Las Vegas that shooting. Same guy. His dad was fatally shot in the head in a murder. And ever since then, he wanted to help grieving families deal with their loss. And so he goes around to all these shootings and he makes these handmade crosses to help memorialize all of the victims. And so here, these beautiful crosses were there. He even took the time and put their names, put the pictures of each one of the victims up there. And so when we're showing up for church, the Billy Graham chaplain comes up and says, hey, the family and friends are now getting notified that the crosses have been put up overnight and now they're coming. They're coming to see the crosses. And he said, your guys' timing to be here could not have been better because you guys are going to be going over there as family and friends are showing up and really grieving the loss of their loved one for the first time possibly. Survivors of that night at the Barn Girl are going to be showing up for the first time, kind of reliving that moment. Your guys' gathering couldn't be at a better time. And he said, I just want to tell you guys that some of you are intimidated to go over there, but he goes, don't be intimidated. Everyone that's showing up there, they're hungry for God. Some of them don't know it, but they're hungry for God. And you have the hope of the world right now. They're feeling hopeless, but you have the remedy. You have the hope, who is Jesus Christ, and they desperately need hope right now. And so you have the antidote, and he says, go over there and inject them with the antidote. And you don't have to preach at them. Just hug them and love them and just pray for them. He says, Pastor, I want to tell you specifically. He says, gather everybody, not just your church people, because this is lovely, but gather all these grieving family and have them pray with you. And don't be afraid that some of them are going to get mad, because we've been doing this for a while and we've never done a prayer circle where one person stays out of the prayer circle. Everybody will join your prayer circle. And he says, don't worry how big it's going to get, because these sheriff officers, they'll cone the whole highway off if they need to, if your prayer circle gets big. And so I'm feeling like a quarterback in a locker room, and this coach, his name is Jeff from North Carolina, he's like, Jim, this is your moment. This, God put you in Thousand Oaks for this moment right here. I'm like, Coach, I'm in, let's go. And we go over to the memorial. They kind of coach us and tell us how to talk to the people that are there. He says, don't say, how are you doing? Because they're all doing horribly. Say, how are you holding up? Because that'll connect you with them right away. And so we went around and we just started hugging people with tears in their eyes. How are you holding up? And they started responding. They started talking. They were open and they started sharing their stories. And I didn't realize this, that as I was getting the conversations, that the big group that I was talking to were all young people that were there Wednesday night. I talked to this little gal who probably weighed maybe 80 pounds, 90 pounds, probably 22 years old. She was running the music when the whole scene happened. And all she knew to do was, there was a window behind her. She knocked the window out herself, and she got eight people out on her own. She got eight people out, boom, boom, boom. And I'm looking at her in disbelief going, the hand of God was on her to get these people out. It was just incredible hearing all these stories. But then came the moment. Let's pray. So I said, hey, I don't want to exclude anybody, but I just want to let you know, for those of you that want to join us, we're going to pray right now. We're going to pray for our city. We're going to pray for the victims, their families. So if you want to join us, just grab somebody's hand and come over here to our prayer circle. I watched a prayer circle gather of what looked to be about 200 people. We went all the way to Moore Park Road, and guess what? Just like Jeff said, the sheriff officers followed right behind us and put the cones out all the way out so that every single person could be in the prayer circle, and the traffic had to go around us. When I had told the group afterwards, I said, hey, hug somebody. And everyone was hugging somebody. And I let them know, I said, just for your knowledge, I said, I'm the pastor. We just started a brand new church right across the street from the golf course, and we were told that we couldn't meet there. So today, this is our church, and you guys are a part of our church service. And we just want to love you, and we just want you to know that we're here for you in whatever way we can be there for you. Now, I'm not making this up, and I'm not exaggerating this, okay? I had 20-year-old cowboy boys, rough boys, that were coming up to me, hugging me, not letting go of me, sobbing on my shoulder like I was their dad. I never met these boys, but I will never forget that moment, because in that moment, I got to be the hands and feet of Jesus for some hurting people. So I'm in this circle, and we do this five different times that day. I was out there for 7 hours on Sunday, and people would keep coming and people would leave, and every new batch of people, I'd say, hey guys, we're going to pray over here. If you want to join us, grab somebody's hand. And every time, every single person grabbed somebody's hand and came over and prayed with us. Every time they hugged everybody, every time they came over and appreciated us. Now, I will tell you, I saw a lot of ministry in Las Vegas, but this city is in shock, because things like this, Vegas is a rough city, things like this just don't happen there. Thousand Oaks is a city that, ladies, you could go jogging at 3 a.m. and not even worry about it. That's the kind of city it was. No longer is that, but it was that. So everyone's shocked. It was like taking a punch from the shooting and then the next day taking another punch with the fires. And so here everybody is and they're in shock, and Jesus is coming in the midst of the shock, and he's comforting them, and he's bringing them peace, and he's bringing them hope. And our church members are just in awe because we're all experiencing the same thing. The beauty from ashes, as it says in the Word of God. And I'm sitting there and thinking to myself, this is only the beginning. Because I saw weeks and weeks after the shooting in Vegas where the city came together and people were being healed of PTSD and other trauma that set in after the experience. What was super sad for me to hear is that many of the people in Borderline were survivors of Route 91. So we had people that were there in our prayer circle that had not been involved in one mass shooting, but had now been involved in two mass shootings. And one gentleman didn't make it out of the second mass shooting. He ended up dying. And his mom is beside herself, and she says, I don't want prayer, I just want gun control. And she's in pain. And when you're in pain, you say things you don't even really understand you're saying, but you're gonna say them because you hurt. So we know that our job is just beginning. As of yesterday, we went down there because we gather monthly for prayer, but we went down there and we prayed at the crosses again, whole new group of people, giving out TO Strong bracelets. Well, I've already given a 1,000 bracelets away just to the people that are coming to the memorial. Last night I had the opportunity to meet several of the parents of the young people that died. And that was surreal to me because Scott and Chrissy Schweitzer, I love these guys. They're like my family. And now I have about 8 Scott and Chrissy Schweitzers now in the community that God sent us to just a couple of months ago to start this brand new church called Atmosphere Church. What does it have to do with you? Well, as of yesterday, the city is still on fire, sorta. These embers that have been burning since Thursday, even though the firefighters have done a massively great job, they have saved. There's hundreds of structures that are burned, but there's thousands of structures that have been saved. Thank you to our first responders, our firefighters, and our officers out there. So they need some kudos for that. And these guys are exhausted. A friend of mine took a picture on the little grass front of his condo, and there were 8 firefighters just crashed out on his lawn just out of complete exhaustion. And as of yesterday, when I was down there, they had spot fires. So these embers, even though they're out, the wind is still blowing. And so they're blowing into these random hills and they're catching these new hills on fire. So there were 4 separate fires as of yesterday that they were able to quickly get a hold of. But the wind is still blowing. And so we still need to be praying. Most everybody was given the clearance to come back to their home. And so God willing, we're going to have church this Sunday. And I need you to join us in prayer because a lot of the people that I'm ministering to, a lot of the survivors that were in there, guess what they told me? Said, we're going to be at your church on Sunday morning and we're going to be there with you. And that's not why I was out there. I wasn't out there so we could grow our church. I'm out there because God told us to go out there. And he even closed doors to make sure that we went out there. Let me tell you, some of you are running into some closed doors and you're frustrated. Hey, that closed door is actually leading you to the door that God actually wants you to go through. Can you receive that tonight, prophetically? Touch your neighbor, say, don't be frustrated with that closed door. Just tell them, don't be frustrated. So I look at this whole situation. I'm still getting my arms around it. I've had phone calls, people asking me how I'm doing. I don't know how many pastors can say they've had to help heal two different cities from two different mass shootings. I don't know. Maybe there's more than me. But I appreciate people being concerned about me. But I tell you what, I'm okay. The thing that I want you to be concerned about are the people in the Conejo Valley, the people of Thousand Oaks. They're the ones I want you to be concerned about and praying for, because their journey of healing has just begun. And there's a lot of 20-year-olds that were living in a place of self-sufficiency, in a bubble of safety, that the bubble has now not just popped, but it's been exploded, and they're hunting for healing. And so on Sunday morning, we're having a service called Healing the Hurt. And we're going to be doing some grief counseling. We're going to be having people there to really help take care of those people that are traumatized. Even the Route 91 survivors that weren't even there but live in the valley, it like awoke something again in them, and now that fear came back. Maybe even you're here tonight, and when you heard that on the news, and you were at Route 91, and that popped back up, I want you to know we love you, and we haven't forgotten about you, and we're here tonight to help pray for you too, so you don't leave here without us letting us pray for you. Because we know trauma is real. Don't be all like, you know, Jesus just, you know, is... I'm not traumatized. You know, Jesus is bigger than, hey, you know, trauma is real. And I do believe Jesus heals trauma, but don't downplay it and Christianize it and say, well, I'm a believer. We never experience trauma because I'm under the blood of Jesus. You know, it's okay to say that you're hurting. When did the church get to a place where it became like this righteous thing to say, I'm not hurting, I'm okay? And when has it become wrong to just admit that you're not okay? I want to tell you, this is a safe place. You are safe to tell your neighbor, me, or whoever else, that if you're not doing okay, it's okay in here to say, I'm not doing okay. Because if you go around and tell us you're doing okay, we can't get involved and help you. But if you tell us tonight you're not doing okay, we're now going to get involved and try to help you be okay. Does that make sense? Be honest with us. You're depressed? Tell us. Don't just bottle it up. Let us in on that so we can pray for you. I believe there's so many demons that are rooted in depression. I'm not saying all depression is demonic, but I'm saying a lot of the stuff that we go through, the dark stuff, is demonically inspired. And a lot of that stuff can be lifted if you allow people into your life to pray for you. And I'm not saying it's all spiritual. Some of it's physical. I get that. I'm on a... Where am I? Where am I going with this? All right. Let me give you a scripture. Let me give you a psalm that I read in Vegas. And I even came out here and I said, I'm just going to talk. I don't want to look at notes. I want you guys to hear my heart and see how Jesus has risen above the darkness already. And he's still on the move. I just wanted to tell you my heart. And I know Scott Schweitzer told me he's at the Northwest campus tonight. And I love you, dude. You're not here, so I can't hug you. But hey, I'm gonna send everybody to hug you and Chrissy tonight if you're there. All right. But let me go to Psalm 34, verse 18. It says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Now, that is awesome to read. We read that and we're like, that feels good. But let me tell you, those aren't just words in our Bible. That is truth. When you're brokenhearted, when you feel crushed in spirit, God comes close to you. It's God's invitation to save you. And a lot of you, until you get crushed in spirit, don't even know and understand that you need to be saved. But when you start getting crushed in spirit, you realize that, you know what, something in my life isn't right. And God moves in to say, I'm your healing. I'm the one that can save you from all of the stuff that is crushing you right now. So if you're feeling crushed in spirit, maybe it has nothing to do with the shooting or the fires. Maybe it has everything to do with your marriage. Maybe it has everything to do with your finances. Maybe it has everything to do with everything is going wrong with your health or your kids. Whatever the case, if you are crushed in spirit tonight, let me tell you the truth, that the Lord is here to save you in your crushing. He's here tonight to save you in your crushing. I witnessed it in Vegas, and now I'm seeing it happen in Thousand Oaks. Sunday's going to be a big deal for us. We're also going to be thanking our sheriff's department down there, the first responders, our officers. I'm friends with a lot of officers here in Bakersfield and in Las Vegas. And now I have some officer friends in Thousand Oaks. Sergeant Ron Helis was the sergeant that walked into the Bar and Grill. They're paying honor to him tomorrow at a local church there at 10 a.m. I'm sure it's going to be televised. But what you need to understand about Sergeant Helis is that he walked in there knowing that there were gunshots, and he walked in. He didn't wait for all the other squad cars to get there. He went in because he knew there was immediate danger. And he was killed. Started thinking about that. Every bullet that he took as a first responder was a bullet that didn't hit a 20-year-old, a 19-year-old, a 23-year-old. And for those of you that are judging this spot and saying, oh, it's a bar, what are they doing at a bar? Let me tell you, this is not a bar. This is more of a hangout. This is a Wednesday night. This is a college night. They teach free line dancing. They have pool tables. They allow 18-year-olds. It's not just a place where there's drinking frenzy. This is a family. They would go there every Wednesday night. And so stop judging situations that you don't know the details on. Come on, somebody. Some lady on Facebook, God's judgment is happening to California. I'll get to that in a minute. All right. How much more time? I got 5 more minutes. So Sergeant Ron Helis, he walked in there and he was a hero. And he died protecting the community that he loved. See, I didn't know Sergeant Ron very well, but when we would get done with our life group on Thursday night at the Best Western, which is right by there as well, there's a Starbucks right on the other side. And so after we would get done with life group, we would go to Starbucks before we would head back to Bakersfield. And Sergeant Ron Helis was there a lot with some other officers because it's the only Starbucks in Thousand Oaks that's open till 11 o'clock. I mean, guys, this town is not like even Bakersfield. At 9:30, nobody is on any streets. Everybody is asleep, pretty much. It's weird. Like, we drove the first night after Bible study going, where's everyone at? And we told the church people, like, we went at 9:30, nobody's around there. Like, everybody's asleep, pretty much, in the town. But so the deputies go there, and I have had the opportunity to talk to Ron several times, just making small talk and trying to offer him and his friends, his coworkers, coffee, just appreciating what they do for our city, for our communities. And I'm thinking, wow, the last time I saw him at Starbucks, I didn't realize that would be the last time I would ever see him here on earth and that he would go out as a hero. And I looked at his cross and all the things that were written about this guy. He's just an amazing guy. I'm like, you know what? That is the life that Jesus lived for us, and that is the kind of life I want to live for humanity myself. And you don't have to be a police officer to live that way. You can be like Brendan, this 23-year-old quadruplet boy that I met on Sunday, where he was there, and the bullets were going, and he called his twin brother, and he said, man, there's gunshots again. And he was at Route 91 as well. And his brother, who wasn't with him at either time, said, you know what you need to do. So, man, God be with you. And he said, I love you, brother. And he went back in and he started rescuing people. And he started taking these kids and doing triage with them because they were bleeding out. A 23-year-old kid, Marine Reserve, one of the nicest young men I've ever met in my life. And I told him, I said, dude, you are a stud, right? You know, I have two daughters that are available. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just messing. Please do not tell them I said that, all right? But I'm just, wow. But guys, we have a spiritual mission to be like Brendan, to be like Sergeant Ron Helas. And there are people that are dying with dark souls, and we have the remedy for them. We have the cure for them. We have the hope for them. And why are we keeping this to ourselves when we have what they need to have the life that God wants them to have? There are people dying on the inside that you work with, that you go to school with, that you are friends with, that you are family members with, and you have everything their soul needs to be cured. Why aren't you being a hero and telling them about the love of God and inviting them to church? Because I'm telling you, it could possibly change not just their life, it could change an entire generation. So just know that, all right? I know I have a lot more to share. Other thoughts I had was 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. This was in our devotion last week. I started this new Facebook Live thing on Thursdays called the Thursday 30. We're on Facebook. You know, if you don't have anybody to do the morning reading plan with, just join me on Facebook. I'll be there from 7 to 7:30 in the morning again. But that was our Bible study on Thursday. The first Thursday 30 was 1 Peter 4. And see, God isn't the one doing the fiery trials, but what he's saying is like, don't be surprised when it happens, because you live in a war zone. You might think you're on a cruise ship in this world, but you're actually on a battleship. You're caught in the crossfire between cosmic forces of good and evil, and the evil are recruiting soldiers all the time to do their dirty work. And so you should never forget you're on a battleship, and sometimes you're gonna get shot at. Sometimes you're gonna get punched at. But let me tell you, one thing, and then I'll get you guys out of here. And that is, your greatness isn't determined by how hard you punch, but by how much you can take a punch and keep on going. Because this world needs to see that when it punches us as children of God, we get back up, because we know none of our hope is here on this earth. Our hope is in the world to come, which is heaven. So I don't wish that on anybody, but I just tell you that some of you are getting punched right now and you feel like giving up. God is never the one throwing punches. God is the one that is in your corner, cheering you on and giving you everything you need to get you to the next round, to get you to the next place, to get you to the next assignment, to get you to the next promise. So it's not about how hard you punch, but it's all about how much you can take a punch and keep on going. I wish I could say I made that up, but that was Rocky Balboa in, I think, Rocky 5 or 6 or 13. I forget how many Rockies there are, but can you just stand with me? Can we just pray for Thousand Oaks tonight? And if you're a survivor of Route 91, would you come up here? Because I want to pray especially for you. If you were there on October the 1st, or maybe you were even at Borderline last Wednesday, but would you just come stand with me if you were there at Route 91? I don't know if any of you were. Anybody? All right. Well, let's pray. I want you to look that way towards Thousand Oaks, and let's just pray this. Father, I just thank you that even though the darkness is dark, God, you are always greater than the darkness. That good always triumphs over evil. That love always triumphs over hate. And that life always triumphs over death. Tonight, God, we just cry out for Thousand Oaks, for the families that are hurting, for the friends that are grieving. And we just pray, God, for your peace your grace, your comfort would just be all over them. Right now, I have church members that are at the crosses ministering to people. God, empower the believers in Jesus that are around that memorial to just love the people there with a hug and just a prayer, a kind word. And God, I pray for that whole entire fire situation to stop. God, we agree as a church, Lord, that the winds would die down, that the firefighters would get the upper hand, and God, that the rain would come. Bring on the rain, Lord. Bring the rain. We need the rain, God. And we just cry out together as a church right now to pray for that rain tonight. Lord, we know that your word says if we can humble ourselves and pray, that God, you would forgive our sins and you would heal our land. God, our land needs to be healed. And our souls need to be saved. And God, tonight there are people that are brokenhearted and crushed in spirit. And I pray that you would meet them tonight, that you would heal them tonight, and they would be saved.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King, here is our Lord.